On Kotel Ne'er Shabbos, everyone, we're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shir number 138 in the Shir on Rezelech Pliskin. We're talking about the unhealthy shoulds, the feeling that we have to do things that could really destroy our lives. And we explained it's not pshat. It does not mean that we just throw everything out and to say there's no right and wrong. There's a Torah that is Lashon Hara, tells us what to do. A should, really a must, is, for example, Shmir Shabbos, Taras HaMishpacha, eating kosher, Tefillah, Torah, all these things are shoulds. Of course, you should and you must need to do all of these to be an Eved Hashem. For women, Hadlakas Neiros, Shabbos, Hafrashas Challah, Taras HaMishpacha overall. So, of course, there's shoulds. There's many, many shoulds. Not eating chametz on Pesach, Leil Seder eating the matzah, fasting on Yom Kippur. We just mentioned a few of the mitzvahs. So to say that all shoulds are unhealthy, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. Hashem directly to giving us the mitzvahs, d'oraisa and the rabbanans, and even good minhagim, are all shoulds that we must keep. But as we mentioned in the previous shiur, it's still within a context. And sometimes there's circumstances where Rav, an amenta that's capable, tells you in certain circumstances not to do the norm of that should. Like the example we gave last time of when one needs to eat Yom Kippur. Or one is told, you must miss Minyan because your wife is overwhelmed doing the bus routes with the little kids to take them off in the morning. She's overwhelmed and she can't do it on her own, and you run to Shacharis. No, skip Shacharis, help your wife, and dan b'yichidus. You may be told that. And when you're told that, that becomes the healthy should. And the should that I have to go to Minyan because I went to Minyan all my life and never missed, you throw that out the window because your Rav told you, you're married, you have a wife, you have children, and you have to help them. And that overrides Tefillah B'Tzibur in that particular instance or in that particular stage of life. And if that's what the Rav tells you, that's what you do. That becomes the healthy should. And the should halacha, you must go to Minyan, you throw out in the window. You throw out the window. And so on and so forth. So again, so now we're going to talk about typical should behaviors that are not healthy. Number one, believing that there's a place for everything and everything must be exactly in its place. That's called organization syndrome, that you're uncomfortable if things aren't in their designed locations. That's sort of a form of OCD. It's sort of like the Nazis that got upset when the roll call, when the people that were lined up, they're not exactly aligned. There's many stories about it, that if a concentration camp victim was in a line of 100 people, and it had to be exactly aligned, and if it was out of line because the person was dizzy and was a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right, they just shot him in the head. So that's the unhealthy to the extreme of organization. Things have to be in place. A well-meaning mechanech once said about cleaning your room, you know, to campers, cleaning your room is because you need an orderly mind. So when you have a clean room, you have a clean, orderly mind. Now, he's 100% right in the context that he said it. He said you have to be mesuder in life, in a normal seder, a healthy seder. So I'm making it very clear. It's not cholila criticism on this mechanech. He was saying the right thing at the right time. He was trying to tell the children, listen, don't think having your room neat and clean and orderly is something that is nonsense. It is your avodas Hashem, because you're going to have to learn in the proper time and daven in the proper time and take care of your health in the proper time and eat in the proper time. And by you learning in your room also to be mesada things properly, your shirts are here, your socks are here, and your other articles of clothing are there, is healthy, because that gets you to be a mesudadika person. So he's 100% right. He's 100% right. However, Nazis also had very clean rooms. Look what they did to that concept. They were also mesuder. They wrote every person and logged them. They were very, very organized. They made sure Auschwitz was very effective, that you could kill the highest amount of people in a single day. Orderly. Exactly orderly. Ad kedei kach, that if you're missing one person from a roll call or from a transport, no. It has to be exact. And they have to find out who's missing. And if not, they'll throw another person in there that wasn't there before, because it has to be exact. So in other words, even these ideas of should being organized could go to an extreme. To murderers like that do that? To just unhealthy OCD, like the Stipler always said in many, many dinim, that he said that many people, if they don't ask shilas, they'll go and go beyond, and it'll disturb them, whether being overly medactic in the Hilchas Netilas Yadayim, overly medactic in Hilchas Beis Akisei and how they clean up, overly medactic when their wife or the wife themselves sees a little stain or something and they'll paskin themselves no good and they're never with the husbands, things like that. So those shoulds are very dangerous. The idea of what you should wear. Yes, there's a tznuadik way to wear, of course. But it could become obsessive. You have to wear this shirt this time, this thing that time. He brings in the book Erroneous Zones that there's a book called Hawaii. It was an author named Jay Michener that wrote different books about different history of different states and space and other things. Fascinating person, the way he wrote. But he, in the book Hawaii, of course, has hotter climate, and tourists came from New England, which was is in the northeast of America, which has very cold climates in the winter. And they arrived in the tropical climate of Hawaii, and then October came, and it was still over 85 degrees, and they had, nevertheless, went out in their winter clothes and dressed uncomfortably for a full 6 months. Why did they do that? Because they were supposed to do that. Because they did it all their life. Now, this, I think, is a fictional, whether it's fictional or based on nonfiction, the bottom line is, this is a pattern of behavior that people do all the time. It's sort of like the slave mentality. This is the idea of Pesach going out of that slave mentality. And to remove yourself and free yourself from that. Free yourself from that unhealthy should. I have to be that way. I always, for 45 years, for 60 years, I wore winter coats between October and the end of April. So now that I'm Hawaii and it's 90 degrees, I also have to wear winter coats between October and the end of April. Unfortunately, people think along these lines. It may be not so crazy like that, but if everyone looks into themselves, they're stuck in patterns that make no sense. I have to eat this food. I have to eat white wine with the fish. Why? Because my mother or my father at home always ate white wine with the fish. I always have to eat potatoes and chicken that has no tam to it because my mother made it that way for me as I was growing up. So how could I do anything different? And you, wife, you have to make me that potatoes and bland chicken. You can't make me these other things. Right? Red wine has to go with beef. It can't go. How could it not go with beef? How could you have beef without red wine? How could you have red wine without beef? So you're locking yourself into your rules, into other people's rules, and how you eat, what you eat. The answer is there's a Shulchan Aruch to tell you how to eat and what to eat. And even Shulchan Aruch, you don't follow blindly. You ask a Rav. You ask a Rav. You follow straight the Mechaber or the Ramah. There's no Machlekes, and you do it just because you do it. And it's not healthy for you. It's poison, even though it says in Shulchan Aruch. You speak to a Rav, and we have to daven to have normal Rabbanim with their heads screwed on straight to be able to ask. And let's daven for that. The idea also that you shift your blame to other people. You know, it's their fault. They made us late. Don't blame me. He's the one that did it. That's sort of like a should. Everything should be exactly the way you want it. People should always act the way you want them to act. And so on and so forth. All of this, if you think carefully, it is so, so common that people are stuck in routines that are unhealthy for them. right? Same thing, which we're not getting into now, a couple where they are intimate in a certain way, like a routine, like robots, because they were told you do it this and that and that, that zehu. Meanwhile, they need to know it's healthy sometimes to adapt to it and to make things more interesting and exciting. And don't say, I'm only doing this when I'm exactly right, when I'm exactly in this mood or that mood. Only when every you know, the kids are sleeping already for an hour and all the laundry is done or all the work is done and only this and only that. And then basically you detach in that area and then you detach in other areas. Or you're tense on a Friday night because it's a little later already and you have a Seder. Now, Reb Chaim Kanievsky could have a Seder and not mess up his head. But many of us say, wait a minute, the suit is over and I'm very tired. I need to go to sleep, but I'm not going to go to sleep until I do this and this Seifim Shulchan Aruch, these Perakim and Rambam and this and this. Meanwhile, your wife's going on Shpilkes and she wants to spend time with you, but you're busy because you didn't finish your Seder. That's called a fifth Shulchan Aruch, ignoring the shoulds. So if your wife wants you upstairs 10 o'clock because she wants to be with you, but you have an hour and a half of your Seder, guess what? You go upstairs, be with your wife. And tomorrow morning, you get up a little earlier and you do those Sedarim. You're flexible. You're flexible. You're not a robot. You're a mensch. Boys have to do this. Girls have to do that. Now, we're not going to get into gender roles now, but this constant thing of just... The key is not what people do. It's what the right thing to do is the way Hashem wants it. And if you're not sure, you ask for guidance and may we be able to have the Yishuv Hadas and Archav Hadas to daven for such guidance. Sometimes you see a child crawling through a fence into a private property. Not your child. Let's say it's a baby, a two-year-old crawling, and you know it's not good for them. So you go in there to take that child and bring it out and have and find her the child's mother or father. But no, you can't do that. Why? Because the sign says no entry. Trespassers will be penalized or whatever. You see that sign, you say, oh, the sign says that. You stop. Meanwhile, the kid's going in there. It could fall into some type of pit, and you've got to really go in there in order to take the kid out of there and bring him or her to their parent safely. But no, it says no entry. But you have to have that common sense. It said that should, that unhealthy, poisonous should of no entry throughout the window, and you go through there and you get that kid before it gets harmed. So we also make these signs on ourselves. No entry when we're supposed to enter. If you don't have a healthy Rav, then the Shulchan Aruch becomes a prison worse than it was in Golas Mitzrayim. And if you have a healthy Rav, then the Shulchan Aruch is Cherus, is Dorachera Darche Noyam, is pleasant. Ask anyone who followed the advice of Rav Avram Yaakov Pam Zechet Tzadik Lavracha, or Rav Moshe Feinstein Zechet Tzadik Lavracha, or Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zechet Tzadik Lavracha, or the Kloisenberger Rebbe Zechet Tzadik Lavracha, or the Blujever Rebbe Zechet Tzadik Lavracha, advice or halacha or both. They knew when they followed advice and they came out on the other side, Derechel Darche Noyam. Yes, you have Amunas Chachamim. Yes, you follow Chachamim blindly, but they have to be the true Chachamim to follow blindly. But you don't follow your Mayach blindly, even though Azoy Shteit in Shulchan Aruch. Hashem wants you to do what he wants you to do. And you don't use unhealthy shoulds to create these non-existent Shulchan Aruchs in your head in order to do what you have to do. And even if it's saying Azoy in the Mechaber or the Ramah, it could be tremendously damaging if you follow it blindly and don't ask, based on your personal situation, what to do, what not to do. An example is Sheyehu Ma'ir HaShachar. The Ramah basically saying, all the way in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, that Yid Whether it's a chiyuv or not, I'm not getting into, but definitely it's praiseworthy. One each should try to do this. Wake up the morning. Be up before sunrise, or at least, or before Nate, or before Alois, however you want to learn it. But any Rav would tell particular people that when Alois in Tammuz is 4 or 4:15, and Nate's could be as early as, let's say, 5, in certain matzavim, certain situations, a Rav will tell you, you don't be Ma'ir HaShachar. You get your full sleep till 6:30. Don't wake up 4:30 or 5:15 to be Ma'ir the Shachar, because you, in your matziv, need to sleep till 6:30. These are examples of unhealthy shoulds. It is such an important yesod that needs to be integrated, because many people are being hurt deeply by these unhealthy shoulds, and they need to do everything they can to stop that. And that is a big breaker of healthy self-confidence, because your self-confidence is broken when you have a certain dictate in your head that I should do something and you fell short. And very often it's fell short of what? Fell short of your stupid, personally made Shulchan Aruch of nonsense. And you fell short of that. And it breaks your self-confidence. We have to ask Hashem for Chachma Bina V'Das every day. And even if you think you got the opposite, you keep on trying and you don't give up. That's what I was told. You have to keep on trying and don't give up. Bracha Natzlacha.